Teddy did. He had a great passion for it. Always working hard.
Patriots Hall of Famer and New England legend.
Stop tweeting and get in your playbook.
Three-time Super Bowl champ. Best football analyst anywhere on the Boston airwaves.
It is intercepted by Teddy Bruschi. Teddy Bruschi has done it again.
Full tilt, full time.
Ooh, how about another 14 victories?
Teddy Bruschi.
Time for our weekly get-together with Teddy Bruschi. It's all being brought to you by Shaw's, the official supermarket of the New England Patriots. Hey, Teddy. How are you?
Shaw's.
See, Teddy, you hear that all yeah in the open. You hear that all yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to beat a dead horse.
Yes, you do. You don't like Matthew Slater.
No, I think someone else should do it.
You think it should be stripped away from?
Teddy,
really?
I think Teddy, you're in charge here. Yeah. You have the ability to revoke his ability to do the aw yeah. So I feel like, you know, maybe somebody else needs a chance.
Why do you feel Slater needs to be revoked?
I'm gonna start off with this. Give me the aw yeah from last week.
Oh God.
I got two things that I'm feeling kind of high about. Number one, my man. Number two, all time passing. That's big, big, big. Number two.
I don't know. We don't celebrate
six.
Twos around here.
What the hell is that?
And oh.
That was pretty good.
That was better.
Good.
That's
that was
one of his better ones.
That was his best one. That was his best one.
Teddy, a grade, Teddy. What grade?
I'm giving that a B+.
I would agree. That was pretty good.
You know, you point out the historical context of the accomplishment of Tom Brady of
check
the evening,
off.
And then
there
you just,
go.
I mean, that's all you really need. You still got the rhythm. You got the oh yeah, guys, you're winning so many games.
About.
I'm telling you. You run out of things. You run out of things to say. When we had won 21 in a row, I was thinking on a sideline about midway through the third quarter. What the heck do I say this week?
Third quarter.
Who's going to break it down now? I'd ask around. Anybody got anything for me? So it's hard.
I love
a lot of pressure.
I love the Brady line, though. We don't do anything for second place around here. What are we talking about? All right, let's start with Michael Bennett. I don't remember a week-long suspension by Bill Belichick. Not playing the first couple series, guys that are inactive on Sunday because they didn't like something they did during the week. This is costing him a one-week suspension, $275,000. He's claiming it was philosophical differences. This one sounds like it was a lot more. Do you believe he will come back to the Patriots? You do believe that they're going to use Bennett now as that chip to go and get something they need?
Well, I've been in those meetings before when, you know, players have those arguments with their, because you don't do it in the team meeting room. You don't, sometimes it's in the defensive meeting room or the offensive meeting room, but a lot of times it happens in the positional meeting rooms when players, you feel more comfortable in a smaller setting and you just let it all out. But it can't be just an argument, because the last time I saw a player and a coach have a philosophical, you know, difference, it was when Junior Seau and Pepper Johnson were chest to chest and were about to throw blows. That's the philosophical difference that I know. When somebody's in somebody's face or somebody's got their hand on somebody's throat and something physical happens. Now, I don't know that for a fact, but to just have that philosophical difference and an argument and you're suspended for a week, it's got to be a lot more than that. Mm-hmm. I think there could have been something going on there.
So wait, so what happened with Pepper and Junior?
Well, they were going over the pass rush plan on the practice field, and they were going through an argument. And, you know, Junior had his way of freelancing things and doing things on his own, and we all knew that. And I had to have his back a couple times because he was a brute cover me. And I'd be like, okay, what are you doing? And then, you know, you're playing defense that way sometimes. Pep tried to get it a little bit more structured, try to get it in an aggressive way that Pep did sometimes, because Pep, he had to get things right. Pep was a great coach. And it was said in a certain way that Junior didn't appreciate it, and Pep was already hot, and Pep said, let's get out to the parking lot. And they was like, who's going to go out to the parking lot? Because that's where we got to handle this. And so Pep started walking to the parking lot. And so we're like, oh, man, what's going to happen? Junior starts walking, and then luckily that's all it was. I didn't see him after that. I took off because it's like, man, I can't stay here. There's just too much beef over here being pushed around. But philosophical differences, that means blows.
So do you think he's done here?
Because we keep speculating they're going to trade him.
Man, I wouldn't say he's done here, although it's a pretty strong statement to suspend somebody and take almost $300,000 of his salary away from him. I'd be pissed off if I was Michael Bennett. I don't know if I'd want to come back. I'd have to have a heart-to-heart, you know? Or maybe this guy's made a lot of money in his time. He needed a week off to cool off, and maybe his role changes when he gets back, but depth is something they always value, and this is a pass rusher that can come in situational times, and who knows, an injury here, an injury there, he could still have that role, but there are a lot of times in the course of the season, especially defensively, very rarely is there one player that has one role consistently the entire year. I mean, even offensively, you can easily track the reps. I mean, sometimes, you know, I'd play 70 snaps. Other times it was like, okay, I got 35 this time. That's something I don't think Bennett was used to.
So in talking about possibly trading, I'm curious, you know, obviously the defense is outstanding. Offensively, Teddy, do they have personnel answers in the building, whether it's wide receiver depth, being able to run the football? Does this team need to go out and make a trade for somebody on the offense?
That's a good question, but it all depends on what your expectation for this offense is. So what are we trying to make it? Are we trying to make it into a 25 to 30 point a game offense? And so there are multiple pieces that you need where that's just not possible. It's not possible for them to all of a sudden become an offense that can score like that. So what do you really need this offense to be to succeed? And this year, in my opinion, is to run the football, take care of it, don't turn it over, and let this defense be who it is. Because what I think you're looking at here, we're going all the way back to the beginning of Tom Brady before he was TB12, and you had all these complementary pieces on the special team and the defense that were making plays, taking the ball away, scoring on special teams. I know there's a big piece missing in a reliable kicker, but still, those three aspects are what this team has to be, because the offense right now, I don't see it becoming something that it isn't right now. It is what it is. Take care of the football. Be efficient. Convert a third down here and there if you're Tom Brady. Let your defense dominate the other side of the ball and get you in favorable field position battles. Field position situations. I think that's what this team is.
So, Teddy, just going back to Bennett again, I know they obviously need him because there's depth issues, and you always value that, right? You never, you know, predict when somebody's going to get hurt. But why isn't he playing? I get that, you know, I'm telling the same story. You know, our reps go up and down based on who we're playing against. But his have gone significantly down every week. So why isn't he playing? Is it just Butler and Shelton and Guy, or is that he's just not versatile enough? What is it?
I mean, what I've been seeing too is I think they're just recognizing their best players on their defense are at the linebacker position in terms of front seven wise, and Bill's having the fun with two linemen down, multiple guys standing, using the twist, Jamie Collins, Dante Hightower, Van Ooy is doing a great job off the edge. So I've got these linebackers that are so multiple, I'm going to use them, and that means less defensive linemen are used. That's what I see in terms of schemes that they're selecting to use, especially in pressure situations in terms of second and longs, third and longs like that. So I think you have so much talent at the linebacker position, they're the ones that deserve to be on the field.
We're talking to our guy Teddy Bruschi here on a Wednesday. So this week it is the Jets. We've been waiting for a competitive game. And first game they played the Jets. Defense in the second half for the Jets pretty good. Edelman goes down with an injury in that game. Is this a competitive game on Monday night now that you've had the opportunity to see Sam Darnold back out there against a pretty good team?
Well, I think it'll be a better quality player at the quarterback position, especially what you saw last week in terms of Daniel Jones, because what I was talking to you last week in terms of the rookie speed of the progression that he was going through, taking his time on one read and then going from one to two to three and making a conscious effort to do it, but just slower. And that's where you get the hand on the arm. And that's where he makes the bad decision and you get those interceptions. Based on Darnold last week versus the Cowboys, there was none of that. I mean, there was decisiveness. There was, there's my guy. There's the throw. The ball's out of his hands. So a quarterback now that possibly all of your pressure that you've been applying on these young, inexperienced quarterbacks that don't know what they're doing is now not going to apply because, I mean, Darnold did play well last week. We'll see if he does this week again, but still getting the ball out of the hands quickly is something that is going to be different from what they saw versus the Giants.
Teddy, I want to ask you about the pass interference, the challenges we've seen in the NFL. It seems like they're just saving it for what happened, right, with New Orleans, because, I don't know, you watch it, you watch some of these ones that are challenged, and you're like, okay, that's pass interference, and they're just not changing the call. Why even have it?
Yeah, and so what they've done is they've sort of expanded replay to all of those calls on pass interference. And so now fans are even watching it thinking, well, why can't that one be fixed? Like the obvious call in the Detroit game, the hands to the face that wasn't there and all of that. So really all you had to do was make it so that situation – versus that happened in the Rams and the Saints championship game, just make sure that didn't happen again. They tried to do so much, and I'm telling you, I'm so sick of hearing clear and obvious on telecasts and on watch games. Clear and obvious. It has to be clear and obvious. If they want to do it, just go back to what Belichick said years ago. Replay everything, and anything that's clear and obviously wrong, fix it. Make it that way, but they go ahead and just opened up Pandora's box with this pass interference call. It's a mess. You know, everyone's complaining about the officials now, and the officials, you know, to tell you the truth, they're doing a horrible job, especially what I saw Monday night. And so something's got to be fixed, and I don't know if it's during the competition meetings now, but desperately, this game is wrecked because some of these officials just can't get it right.
Yeah, so I want to talk about, so Jalen Ramsey gets traded to the Rams. Marcus Peters gets traded to the Ravens. And this kind of goes with the whole NFL turning into the NBA. If you want it bad enough, if you cause a stink bad enough, you can get yourself out of any situation. You just have to hold your breath and, you know, have a tantrum or something, or say you have a back
fake
injury.
An injury.
Yes, because I'm sure Jalen Ramsey is going to be healthy like today when he shows up for the Rams. But I think the question is that just the way it is now? You know, the NFL and their ability to kind of dictate where they go and dictate terms, or is it just a select few that have that ability?
I just think it's the way it is now, because this was the one example where I thought an organization that, you know, one of the head men was Tom Coughlin, wasn't going to go out and get played like that. But still, Mr. Military, this is the way I do things here, still a player was able to get out and get everything he wanted. Sent to the West Coast, go to Los Angeles, probably going to get a contract extension based on the draft picks that they gave up. And still, he really forced his way out of Jacksonville right in Tom Coughlin's face. And it's something I didn't think would happen. I think Coughlin would say, no, son, this is my team here. I call the shots. You'll go out there and play, or I'm going to fine you, and I'm not going to pay you. Well, no, coach, I got this little back injury. So, we're going to see it that way. And so even Tom Coughlin had enough. If you make enough of a stink, you can get out.
We were having this conversation, I believe, yesterday. Fourier said that he thinks he could line up all the teams in the playoffs right now in the AFC and could do a pretty good job with the NFC. And I argued the point that every week we're finding something new about these teams. I mean, Dallas suddenly 2 weeks ago, thought they were Super Bowl bound. 2 weeks later, you're looking at them differently. Obviously, Kansas City. And usually it takes till like week 10 to find out what you've really got. Do you buy into the good teams are the good teams right now, or are we going to see some surprises here?
And the surprises, how far can they go? Really, I mean, we're probably talking championship weekend. I mean, divisional weekend, those type of guys. Can you have some surprises that possibly get to a wild card weekend? Yes, but you're right. I mean, the story still can, I think the story's still to be told on Kansas City, even New England, even the Patriots, guys. I mean, who are they going to be? I mean, who are they going to try to be offensively? Or are they just going to say, you know what, guys, I think this is who we are, and so we're going to play to our defense. And just like they did in Buffalo, three plays and punt in the fourth quarter. And we know that offenses can't score on this defense. So there's a lot to be discovered still. The Texans, they look great, but it's like, I don't know. I've seen them just blow it in big game situations before. The Cowboys, come on, you look great 1 week, and it's just the way they've been the entire time. You just don't know who they're going to be, and I don't trust Jason Garrett, because it's like, all right, the best team, you got to have the team with also the best coaching staff too. I like Seattle. I love Russell Wilson and what he's been doing. The Indianapolis Colts, Jacoby Brissett and that offensive line, if that defense makes plays for them, there's a lot that they can do also versus, seeing them, manhandle Kansas City at the line of scrimmage, and Quentin Nelson, one of the best offensive linemen in the league. Gee, and I just watch him sometimes. So the Colts also. But there's really just, I don't know about the surprises, and I don't know how they can go, because, the real teams are really starting to step up that are 5-1, 6-0, 4-2, those type of teams.
Other than the Patriots, that's it though, right?
On a week-to-week basis, I mean
with everybody else, even with all their issues, they're still the most, I guess, reliable? Based on what you said, you got Houston, yeah. Who knows? Indy, who knows? Baltimore? Lamar Jackson, no, being the guy that
he is,
it's a little, Lamar Jackson, to me, seems to be, I don't know who he's going to be. Because he could be psychotic and be great. And then you can sit there and find a defense that knows how to corral him and force him to do what he can't do, which is throw out of the pocket, and then there you go.
And then all of a sudden, he's throwing Jameis Winston throws. Yeah. It's like, what was that? Throwing across your body all the way across the field? No, but New England, I still trust the coaching. I still trust the coaching.
Yeah, that's a big factor.
They can play a complimentary game, and the offense, they won't do anything stupid with the football, because that's who I think they're starting to realize what they have to do. And still, that kicking position, not having Gostkowski, and I know he was struggling because he was hurt, but still, having the confidence and knowing you get there inside that 30, that 35, you'll make a kick. Is that there now for them? It's not. Hey. And when you play a complimentary game of football, you got to have that reliable kicker that's going to make that kick.
All right, Teddy, we'll talk to you next week. Have a good one.
All right, guys.